This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, welcome again, Bridgeway. I don't know about you, but I think we have stepped up our game a little bit with our announcers this morning, right? I mean, the lovely, the one and only Victoria. So love that. Love being able to do ministry with my wife here and to be able to work together in the different areas we do and the areas that we're passionate about. So love that. Last week, we heard an announcement about Pastor Ron. He's doing well. I just wanted to update you. He's doing really well. He is on doctor's orders to slowly ease back into things, which you, if any of you know Pastor Ron, which all of you do, that is hard for him. So, brother, I love you, man. Thanks for taking it easy. He's easing back in. He's hoping to be back preaching here next week. So we are excited for that. He's back in the office a little bit, and we're excited to have him on the mend. So a couple weeks ago, he kicked off a series called Spiritual Habits, and this is a series where we are taking different spiritual habits, and right alongside that, he has shared and challenged us with a Bible reading plan. And that was his first week. He talked about us being empty and being filled through these spiritual habits. Last week, Pastor Justin shared an awesome message about prayer. If you missed either of those messages, you'll want to catch those later. Check them out online or on the app. You can listen or watch them there. So I have a two-and-a-half-year-old daughter, and I don't know how many of you get the experience with little ones like that. I'm a little biased. I think my daughter is the cutest thing in the world. And she's gotten into the habit of being on a mission. I don't know if you've ever seen a 2.5-year-old on a mission before, but she kind of gets ahead of herself with her words, so she'll just start going, and I'm like, I catch half of that, and the other half, I'm like, I don't know what you said, sweetie. I'm so sorry. So the other day, I was in the kitchen making lunch, and she does this. She comes out, and she just starts giving me an earful about whatever was going on, and I picked up the word picnic. I'm like, okay, she's having a picnic, but I missed the rest of it. I'm like, and I didn't know how much she was on a mission or how top priority this was until I got to see this face. And that is not the only time that daddy missed it or missed that she was on a mission. And what I slowly found out after this, she grabs my hand like she always likes to do, and then she dragged me to her room. She wanted me to do the picnic with her. That's what she was trying to tell me. And sometimes I think I miss that when I'm supposed to be on a mission and I'm doing something else. I'm caught up in the other area. I think that segues in, gives me a beautiful picture of our spiritual habits. That's why we do our spiritual habits, is because we as Christians, we are on mission. We're on mission to make disciples. And here at Bridgeway, we talk about that from turning spiritually hungry people to fully devoted followers. We are on mission here. And so we need these times, these habits, to get us ready and to keep us in the game for that. So I think one of the ways that we can see this, there's a little study that I noticed recently by the Center for Bible Engagement is what it is. And this one is just about reading your Bible. So if you're reading your Bible 4 or more times a week, these are some of the things. I'm not going to read them because I think you guys can all look at them. Or you can check them out later on. But it's kind of incredible to see what it seems to show. Now, I think it's more than just the Bible reading. Like, we do Bible reading, we do prayer, but all for the purpose of connecting with God, of being in relationship with Him. And I believe it's His Spirit that changes, that makes these changes in our lives, so that when we do a study like this of over 100,000 people, you can see how God is making changes in people's lives. Again, they're not perfect, so you notice none of the numbers are perfect numbers, perfectly square or anything. They're not perfect, but you can see the changes that are happening. I thought that was pretty impressive and encouraging to me, so I wanted to look at that. The other aspect I want to encourage you with as well, so it says 4 or more times a week, and maybe right now you're sitting here or you're online listening and you're thinking, well, Pastor Mike, I don't I don't know if I opened my Bible once this past week. That's okay. This is not to guilt you or to make you feel bad in the moment. It's about the progress, the trajectory. So if you're at the point where you're like, I don't know if I've opened my Bible, that's all right. The idea is to start. And then as you make more progress and as you see and grow closer with Jesus, and as the Spirit works in your life, we can see these changes happen. So today we're going to be talking about one called solitude. And I want to ask you to do something with me today. I'm going to read four verses out of Mark 1. And while I flip there, I'm going to ask you to do something a little different. So we do this from time to time where I ask you, if you're able, if you could stand with me. I'm going to read these four verses together. And we do this out of appreciation and respect for the Bible. So if you would stand just for these four verses. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. You can have a seat. Thank you. Now, I don't expect you to remember all those verses, so we're going to go back to these verses one by one and break them down and talk about them a little bit. So verse 35, I'm going to read it again for you. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read this, I can get a little bit too detailed. I look at this and I'm like, okay, so he got up very early in the morning while it was still dark. That must be the only time you can have solitude. And I think that's the temptation of us sometimes. We look at the verses and we want to think, okay, I have to do it exactly. I want to be like Jesus, so I have to do it exactly like this. But here's the point is, if you were to flip to Matthew 14, we find another spot where Jesus is having some solitude, but it's in the evening. And the point I think Jesus is trying to make here, is that he was intentional. He went to find a solitary place, and he prayed. He wanted to get alone with God, find some solitude, and that's what we're focusing on today. Because I think we can read, we can pray, like we've been talking about these past 2 weeks. We could do it with other people, but we can also do it by ourselves. And they both are good, but they serve a different purpose. Let's jump into our next set of verses here. Simon, verse 36, Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Everyone is looking for you. Remember that line right there. Have you tried this, though? Have you tried to find a quiet place lately in your house or wherever that may be? I think for us now, there's even more that is trying to distract us, right? Like my phone. On my phone, I have, on the top of it, I don't know if your phone has this. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But mine has all these notifications that pop up all the time. And every time I see a notification, I'm like, okay, that must be really important. I have to check it out. And then whatever I'm doing gets put to the back burner, and now I'm all of a sudden looking at my notifications. And so I had to do this where I turn my screen off and just let it sit there because now I can't see my notifications, so I have to, like, be intentional. Okay, I'm going to look at my phone now, do whatever's on it, and then I'm going to take care of it, and then I'm going to turn my screen off so that I don't get distracted and get lost and all this stuff. And I think cell phone makers, smartphone makers realize that. They're like, oh, Mike's figured us out. He's figured out how the notifications are getting blocked. He just turns off the screen. I know what we can do. They sat around. I think they got together. They sat around in a room. They're like, let's think of a way that we can still let Mike know. And yes, just me. They were thinking about me, of course. Let Mike know that there is something going on his phone right now, and he needs to check it out. So I don't know if you noticed this ever. On my phone, I would have a little light start blinking at me when I get notifications. And it'd be blue for Facebook, white for messages, green for, I don't even know why I had green, to be honest. It just would blink at me, and then I would assume I needed to look. So it took me a while to figure out that I needed to turn off all my notifications, everything on there, and just, I needed to go into my specific app. All right, I'm getting way too detailed. But the point is that there's so many things that want to distract us. Whether, even if it's not your phone, I've got neighbors that are coming over that want to be with us. We've got a dog that, when all else fails, I know my dog will come and see me. Like, even if nobody else is coming and giving me the attention and everyone likes me, my dog always does. And I've got little kids who always have the nerve to want my attention. Just kidding. I love them. But if we don't get this, if we don't stay and focus on this, I'll get caught up with that line. Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you. And part of me wants to hear that. I'm like, oh, that feels nice. I love hearing that. Everyone is looking for me. Perfect. My kids, my neighbors, the blinking lights. Look at all my likes. The point is it is hard to find a quiet place. But Jesus went after it, and he found it. I think if we looked back at verse 35, I won't make you flip there right now, but in 35, there's four things I think Jesus does. It says it's very early in the morning, while it's still dark, he left the house and found a solitary place. He did four things. He did those intentionally to make your distractions work for it. He made his distractions work to try and distract him. That was, I think, his intentionality. And I think we have to do that too, to make your distractions work to try and get to you. So there's a study from Psychology Today by Virginia Thomas. She studied some college students who were asked to sit around in a room for 15 minutes without anything. No stimulation, no TV, no social media, no cell phones, nothing. Just sit in a room on a chair. Which some of you are like, that sounds fantastic. Mike, where do I sign up for this program? And some of you are like, no, absolutely not. But either way, I think what happened is kind of what we would expect to happen is after a few minutes, the college students that were sitting in that room, they were all excited. And then all of a sudden, some of the things that they had pushed off because they're in this go, 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 go all the time mode started to come in. Their worries, their loneliness, the work things, the family problems started to come in. And they all of a sudden were no longer a fan of this 15 minutes of quiet time, of alone time. And maybe you're like me and that you're like, Mike, this is not, you're not doing a very good job of selling this whole trying to find solitude thing. Maybe that's a block for you. You're like, I really don't like having to deal with that. But I think here's the thing is, if you can push through the initial part, and this is what they found in that study too, if you can push through the initial part of the unhappy feelings, you'll really give yourself the chance to be able to reset and recharge with God. And I think sometimes it's simply that these things that are coming on to you when you go to have some solitude are things that you just need to bring before God and have a conversation with him about. And sometimes I think, it sounds silly, but sometimes I think it takes practice. Someone to check in on you. And I think that can be difficult too. Choosing to involve somebody is really important. It doesn't mean that you're weak. I think it actually means you're smart. With anything, if you're trying to improve, it's better if you can bring somebody else along and it's actually faster. You'll see faster improvement as well. But here's my question to you. What do you need to change to make solitude happen? What do you need to change in your life to make solitude happen? Is there something you need to cut out? So for me, I've had to look at things like maybe I need to go to bed earlier if I'm trying to do my solitude in the morning. Maybe it's to skip one episode and then you can come back to it, but maybe do that one episode, just use that time for solitude. Maybe you need some soundproof walls. Just kidding. but that would be nice. Maybe you need to plan with the others in your house. Make a plan with them to set some solitude. You do it together. Plan it in your schedule. Sometimes I've had to do that even, to put it right in your calendar. Here's another one that I love doing from time to time with my small group is to do it at small group. So to take 15 minutes at group and say, we're all together, but right now we're going to have 15 minutes of just quiet. Just to give us a moment to slow down. Are you reset, refocused, and ready to go? Let's jump into that next verse. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So why? He says a why in there. That's why I have come. But why do we have solitude? Pastor Justin, I think, tipped his hand last week when he was talking about prayer. It's to connect with God. You see, Jesus, up until this point, if you were to read the parts right before this, Jesus is actually, he's preaching, he's teaching, he's casting out demons, he's healing, he's connecting with other people. He's on his mission. But he needs a reset too. Think of it like this. What do you need to do if your heart gets off beat? If it has the wrong rhythm? We go to the doctor, right? And they charge up the paddles and they shock it back into the right one. That's the same thing I think we need to do with solitude. One of the problems with this analogy is that normally you do that one time and it's good to go, right? But I think we might need that a little bit more often. We might need that shock a little bit more often. Otherwise, we start to focus on what Mike thinks is best, what the world is trying to tell us is best, or what someone else is saying is best, and we forget God. And the Bible is great for this. If you look into the Old Testament, there's a book called Chronicles. And some of you are like, Mike, please don't talk me through the Chronicles right now. I'm not going to read the whole Chronicles or anything, but I want to point to this book because this is one of the things I pulled out to it, is if you read through it, you'll see this king followed God. Then you go to the next one, this king doesn't. This king does, this king doesn't, this king does, this king doesn't. And it feels a little bit like ping pong. If you just sit down and read the whole thing, you're like, what is happening? But I think it's just a reminder, we're not any better than them. It's just a reminder that that's how quickly we ping pong. It's how quickly we get distracted. And we do this, we do these solitudes, we do this reset so that our heart's desires can line back up with God, that it can be lined up with his desires, and that we can be back on beat with his. See, solitude is a great solution just for life in general. We're not talking about that today. But if you read all these psychology things, that they say that it's really good for that. But we're talking about if you're on a mission, then we need time, like Jesus, to slow down, connect back to the source of to connect back to the source of life, God. To reset your heart and to refocus your mind. You want to reset your heart so that your desires are in line with him. Refocus your mind on the mission at hand. Once it is, I think you have a response, like in verse 38. I don't know if you notice this. So when I'm in my quiet moments, if somebody comes up and they're like, hey, I just wanna interrupt for a minute, you know, while you're doing this really important thing. I'm not always in the great space to respond well, but I love Jesus' response because he didn't get after them. Hey, disciples, you're interrupting me. How dare you? It doesn't come after him like that. He went right after the why. Let's go. I'm on a mission, and it's to preach. He's connected to God in his solitude, and it keeps him on mission. So he doesn't get distracted by everything else that the world is trying to tell him, whether it's the Netflix, which I don't know if you noticed this, but I feel like Netflix is also dialed into Mike because they're like, watch this next episode. Or you watch that one and you're like, I have to watch at least 10 more, otherwise I will not know how it, like I'm just get locked into that stuff too. And I feel like all of it just wants to suck us in. I have that blinky light, it's so urgent on my phone. The world wants us to pay attention. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but on my phone, I don't have a notification for God on there. I wish I did. I think that'd be kind of cool, maybe to have that set in, because then that could help as well. But everything else wants to distract us and pull us away. We have to be very intentional. Let's go to verse 39. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So Jesus has done his solitude. He's reset, refocused, and he's on mission again. He's ready to go. In Luke 5:16, there's another place. There's a bunch of places where you see Jesus doing this, and this one I think sums it up. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And like I was saying, if we need to get more than just a one-time shock, if Jesus is doing this often to get reset, refocused, refilled, then I think we probably need to do that as well. All right, so some of you at this point, you're like, Mike, listen, this solitude talk is great. I understand what you're saying, but I can't sit still for 5 seconds without falling asleep or getting lost in the moment. How am I supposed to have solitude? And other of you are, I've been watching a few of your faces out here. Others of you are like getting a little bit too excited about getting more solitude. And Mike said I should have a bunch of solitude, so get ready, family and friends. I think the extremes are not what we're looking for. We're not looking, if this is scaring you, that's not my intent. If this is telling you to do all alone time, that's not our intent either. But to find rhythms, to make your distractions have to work for it, to get your distractions distracted. I want to share a quick one more story here. So Martin Luther is a guy from history that just was in love with Jesus. Wasn't perfect by any means. If you read about him, he had a lot of his own vices. But he was asked one time, hey, what are you going to do tomorrow? Probably not in that word because it was a while ago. He said, work, from early until late. In fact, I have so much to do, I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Which I don't know about you guys, but when I'm like, I have a lot to do, I'm not like, hey, I should spend 3 hours in anything other than what I have to do. But I just thought that this visual, this idea is just powerful to me to think, okay, he thinks it's so important to be able to get everything else done during the day that he needs to spend 3 hours. That's crazy. At another point, he said that if he didn't spend 2 hours in prayer, he feels like the devil gets the victory. And I think his point, I can't ask him, but I think his point was just that if he's not in prayer, he's not getting reset, refocused, and back on mission with God's mission, he's getting pulled into whatever the world wants him to do, and so the devil gets the victory instead of God. Again, today, I'm not saying everybody here, you need to spend 3 hours in prayer, but this was just a good reminder for me that he thinks it's so important, and this is so countercultural to think, okay, I want to start, and I want to be in that first. I think we do maybe need some extended solitude from time to time, but any time is hard to shut down the noise. I'll share one last story. So I was on a leadership trip a while back. I was canoeing up in Canada. It's a canoeing portaging trip. And for this trip, we had a part of it. We were practicing all sorts of things. They were trying to teach me how to be a better leader. I don't know if any of it worked, but anyways, I was on the trip, and we're canoeing and portaging and doing all this hard stuff. And we get to a point in the trip, and our leader's like, okay, we're going to have some extended solitude. And I was like, okay, great. I think I had done this before on another trip, but this particular trip was a little interesting. So, like I said, we're canoeing, and we were all on this little island, so there wasn't enough space for us to really have some quiet and solitude there. So we got in our canoes, and we started paddling off to other areas. The only problem is we were partnered in our canoes, so we had to share a canoe to get to a space. So me feeling all excited about how good I am at paddling, I paddle my buddy out, I drop him off where he's going, and then I go and I'm like, okay, I remember a spot we went by, it's going to be sweet. So I go and I'm paddling there and I'm getting in close and I'm like trying to, nobody's even there, so I don't know what I'm trying to do, who I'm trying to impress, but I decide to try and slide the canoe into shore. And then as I'm doing this, I step up in the canoe and step out. And I go right into the water. I'm down right in the water, completely covered. The greatest part about this is I was wearing a sweatshirt and pants because it was about 40 to 50 degrees outside. And it took me about a half an hour to paddle where I was. So now I am wet, cold, and I have to figure out what I'm going to do for my solitude. Now, at this point, do I go back, change my clothes, and come back? I would have spent probably another hour and a half trying to get back, change, get all my clothes, and come back out. If you want to, I can tell you the rest of the story, what I ended up doing later. But the point is that even when you try to be intentional to try to find some solitude, it can be hard. So my point is just this. Practice it. It's okay if you fail and you get caught up in the moment. You just practice it again. Try again next time, and don't let you falling into the water distract you or pull you away from what God wants to do with you. My challenge is this, to start simply by taking a few minutes a day to be by yourself. Take a few minutes, not hours like Martin Luther, but just start there. So this week, we're still in the reading plan. If you haven't been with us doing the reading plan, there's still copies out at the info desk that's available for you. We are shifting gears this week. So you've been doing 2 weeks of digital, like on your tablet or on your phone, reading the Bible that way. This week and the following week, we are going to paper Bibles. So if you don't have a copy of the Bible or you lost it for whatever reason, there are copies right underneath the seats in front of you. You are welcome to take one of those as well. Those are our gift to you. But we would love to have you join us to finish this out. Again, if you have not jumped in, that's totally fine. Jump in, start this Bible reading habit with us, and start to find just a few minutes where you can be alone with God. And with that, let's pray. Father God, I pray that you will move in us today, because it's not about any awesome words that Mike says or any awesome examples or pictures or anything like that, but it's about you. It's about what your word says. It's about what you will do in us. It's about the relationship you want with us. God, I just ask that you would help us today to find a few minutes to be alone with you, to block out the noise, to let you have a platform in our life. God, I pray that you would even help us with that part of it, with blocking out the noise, with distracting our distractions. God, our desire is that we would be lined up with your mission, with your heartbeat. And I pray that you'd help us to do that, to reset, refocus, and be in line with you. God, we give you this day. We give you this worship that we're about to do in a moment here, singing to you. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.